So let's open with prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God with the people of God. Thank you, Lord, that we have the ability in our minds and our bodies to be here, Lord. We give you praise and glory. We have breath to be here, Lord. We don't take it lightly, Lord, that everything we have is yours, and in a moment it can be taken away. And we thank you, Lord, that your mercy and grace is new each and every day for us. I pray your blessings upon this service today, each and everything that's done. May it be to glory and edify the name of Jesus. May the word go forth as you promise in your word. It will not return into you void. And I pray, Lord, your blessings upon this vessel. I surrender myself to you. Let everything that be said and spoken be of you, Lord. Nothing of myself, only the words that you have given this vessel. May it go forth today and bless the people. In Jesus' name, amen. The right spot for you all. I hope so. So today, if you want to give it a title, we're going to talk about Bring Me Your Heart of Stone. Bring me your heart of stone. And yesterday, God started downloading this message to me, and he had me in Exodus 34, if you want to move there. And while you're doing that, I will give you some background to that. Children of Israel, they're wandering in the wilderness. God is blessing them and keeping them, although they're not faithful at times. And Moses has been on the mountain with God, and he has just gotten what we call the Ten Commandments, or the commandments, the law. And he comes down the mountain in chapter 32, and he finds the children of Israel worshiping a golden calf. And Moses drops the two tablets, or the tablets that God had written with his own hand, his own finger, the law. And he's dealing with that situation. And in chapter 33, God has asked and told Moses to depart from them because I'm about to take them out. He doesn't play with people who serve and worship other gods. I don't care what it is in your life. You have got to have Holy Spirit inspect your life. Is there a God in your life? And I will guarantee you, most of the time, you will find that yourself is your God. Yourself. We are all born of the sin of Adam. Pride. What was the Bible says? In the last days, they will be lovers of themselves. You will find that we tend to take God and put him in this little area and say, okay, you can do all you want over here, God. But this is mine. Whatever it is, it's usually selfish stuff, but stuff that we can do without and live without, we just haven't figured that out yet. And I am thankful that I have a God who doesn't turn the lights on in all the house at one time. He does one room at a time and helps me get through that. But he does expect me to get through that. So if you notice that, in chapter 33, Moses tells him pretty much that we're not going to go forward unless your presence goes with us. And he convinces God to not destroy the nation of Israel. And he tells him, he promises, then he will go with him. He would go with him. And he tells him in chapter 33, verse 19, says, and then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. He's speaking to Moses. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he says, you cannot see my face, again speaking to Moses, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, Here is a place by my side, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be when my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand when I pass by, then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." How many of you all been between a rock and a hard place? Just out of nowhere, we all been there. And you always wonder, where was God? He was holding you up. He was making you sure. Shoring up your legs so that you could stand through whatever was going through, whatever was touching you at that time that was hard and difficult. That's why you didn't see him until it was over. Because at that point, he took his hand down, and then you could see him as he walked by. That's a word for somebody today. If you heard my podcast that I put on there, sometimes life comes at you fast. Things start happening. Decisions have to be made on the spot. And you don't have the ability to sit down and pray. You are just literally crying out to God in that moment. But he is there. He is there. He's just cheering you up so that you can withstand what is being done, what is happening at the moment. But his promise is always true. And he sent me today with the word to you all. He's renewing his covenant with you. Whoever hears me under the sound of my voice, sees this video, he is bringing a new covenant to you. It's nothing new. It may be new to us at this point in our lives because things have changed and things have shifted. But he has never changed. He is willing to renew the covenant with us. But he says, you have to bring me your heart of stone. Go over to chapter 34 of Exodus. And you find Moses cutting two tablets of stone like the first ones. And God says, cut two more stones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablet, which you broke. That is a word for somebody today. You have broke the covenant, but he is willing to make it all right if you will bring your stony heart to him. And he tells Moses, he says, so get ready in the morning and come up on the mount to the Mount of Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen through all the mountain. Let neither flock nor herd feed before the mountain. When this happens, this call to bring the stony heart, to renew the covenant with you today, he says it has to be between you and I. Pastor so-and-so, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, they can't do that for you. It has to be your decision. Bring me your stony heart. And verse 4, it says, so he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. And then Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. He stood with Moses there. And he proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now God himself is proclaiming his own name. This is his covenant with you and I. And it says the Lord passed before him and proclaimed. Remember, he passing before him. He's holding him up. He's shoring up his legs. When there's times when you don't think you can stand in whatever situation is going on in your life, he has got you shored up. That's why you can't see him right now. But I guarantee you, he is holding you up and keeping you in that time. And he says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. Now God is telling you who he is, what he has promised to do for you. He said, merciful and gracious, long suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. That means he is faithful and always has something good intended for you. Keeping mercies for thousands It doesn't run out. It's thousands and thousands. Forgiving iniquities and transgressions and sins. He's got them all covered. It's all not good. Whether you have iniquity, whether you have a transgression, whether you have a sin, he has it all covered. He said he's forgiven it all. I don't know what you've done, what kind of sin you may have, but does it fall in any of those three categories? Yes, it does. Every one of them does. But God says, I forgive them all. I forgive them all. By no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And basically that part means that children who choose the sins of their fathers will be guilty as well. So Moses, let me understand, let me show you what needs to be done. You need to bring your stony heart to him and let him write his words upon your heart. Let him renew the covenant with you. So Moses made haste. He made haste. He didn't hesitate. What did he do? He bowed his head toward the earth and he worshiped God. Then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even those we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquities and our sins, and take us as your inheritance. Do you see how you bring your stony heart? You just don't bring it and just throw it down there. Whatever. Here it is. Let's see what you can do with it. That is not a repentant heart. A repentant heart bows down to the ground in humility and worships in thankfulness. That despite my transgressions, my iniquities, despite my sins, my betrayal, you will forgive all. You will have mercy and you will have grace. And I can abound in good things. And truth and faithfulness and long-sufferingness. You have long-suffered for me. No, that's not the way you bring. You bring your heart in repentance. And you worship him and you thank him in humility that he is willing to make a covenant with you. And I love this next part. He's renewing his covenant. Remember, he's renewing his covenant. God's renewing the covenant with Moses. And this is a word for us today. This is prophetic. It says, and he said, this is God speaking, behold, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels such as has not been done in all the earth. Nor in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. Not for you, but with you. Those spoke to me this morning when I read it. He says, behold, I make a covenant. He says, bring me your stony heart. We'll wipe that slate clean. I'll write my words on it. God took me this morning to Ezekiel 36 and 26. I preached from that the last time I stood before you, but he let me have the last part of that today. It says, a new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you, a heart of flesh. That means a heart that feels and is sensitive to him. Not the stony one. It's different. But he says, behold, before all your people, I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among you whom you are shall see the work of the Lord. For it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. Not for you, not to you, but with you. Are you ready to renew that covenant today? He's beckoning. He's calling. He says, all you have to do is bring me that heart of stone. Let me write on it. Let me teach you. Let me show you. Let me walk with you day after day. Let not just me be part of your story. I want you to be part of my story, God says. I want you to be part of my story. Do you know what that looks like? That looks like a life that is surrendered completely to God. That said, God, I will go where you want me to go. I will do what you want me to do. I will say what you want me to say. I'm not going to get caught up in this craziness of this world, what's going on, what he said, what she said. Anger has no more place with me because life is too precious. It's too precious. Do you know you're not guaranteed your next breath? Do you know my husband and I were in Florida this week, Tuesday? He had a medical emergency. We ended up in the emergency room and ended up spending the 24 hours in the hospital in the critical care unit. The man knew his name and who I was, and he knew nothing else. Nothing. I had to drive him to the hospital as I'm driving him there, and he looks at me like a little child, and he says, am I having a stroke? And I said, baby, I don't think so, but I'm going to get you somewhere and we're going to get you some help. Whatever needs to be done, God's going to take care of it. Soon as I walked in with him, they called a stroke code. They rushed him back to the emergency room and they're trying to put IVs in him. And he doesn't even know where he's at. He doesn't know what day it is. He doesn't know anything other than his name. And at that point, all I could do was cry out to God because things were happening so fast. Decisions had to be made. And the doctor's telling me all these things that could be wrong. He says, I need your permission to do this. And we're going to have to scan his brain to make sure he's not bleeding before we can do this. And this and this and this. And he says, he's not in a state to make that permission. I need your permission to do it. And I said, you give him whatever he needs. And I went back to the emergency room and I sat there alone. And I got on my phone and I texted my family and I texted my pastors. And I said, pray. We are here in this situation. And only God can make a difference. He was totally normal that whole morning. We had had breakfast together. We had gone to the beach and been in the ocean, played in the pool. Sat by the pool, had lunch, and he comes out and he looks at me and he starts pacing the floor. And he just looks like he's on repeat. And he said, is this real? And I'm going, baby, what do you see that you don't know that's real? And he couldn't tell me. And I asked him, I said, do you want to go see a doctor? And he said, no, I don't want to go. Within 5 minutes, I realized he was just sitting on the bed like a lost child. And I just handed him clothes. I said, put your clothes on. We got to go. He goes to the car, sits in the car. And I'm driving to the hospital. So they bring him back. There's no brain bleed. Praise God. They could give him the medicine they thought he needed to help him. And this doctor, this 30-some-year-old doctor, now my husband's got 30 years on this man. He is looking at me going, this man is healthier than I am at his age. The blood work comes back. There's nothing elevated on it. Let me tell you what kind of God we serve. Let me tell you why this covenant is important. Because in a breath, it could be gone. In a breath, it could be gone. The man I knew was not there anymore. Just a body. The blood work came back good. Everything was good. The CT scan was stable. But they had to keep him overnight. They wake him up at 3 o'clock and they do another CT scan. And they say it's stable. There's no changes. There's nothing there. They do an echocardiogram. By the time my kids show up, they're doing an echocardiogram on him in the bed. He is in the critical care unit. And the guy's going, man, your heart is great. He says, there's nothing on here that would keep you in the hospital. Everything's good. The kids walked in and he said, hello, children. Hours before, he didn't even know them. He didn't know who they were when I mentioned them. At 8:45 on Wednesday morning, they want to do an MRI of the brain. That will show many things. So I'm there, I'm waiting. They take him down, they bring him back. And we're waiting, and he's talking to me, and he's more like himself. He's remembering things longer than 3 hours, 4 hours ago. He's remembering, he's asking me questions. Did we do this? Did we do that? In the ER, all I could say is, how did I get here? What were we doing? And he was on repeat for about 5 hours listening to that. He would ask me those same questions over and over again. Did we do this? Did we do that? It got so bad that the nurses were answering the questions because they knew the answers. But he started joking about 9 o'clock or so and telling jokes and joking with the kids when they came in. His spirits were lifting. God was moving in his behalf. The MRI result came in. The doctor was almost pissed when he walked in the room because everything was good. There was nothing wrong with his brain. He said, at his age, I have seen these things light up like Christmas trees. Any light in there shows that there's a problem. Any light in there shows that he's like, he's got nothing. He got one little spot that kind of lit up a little bit. He says, we think it's just irritation. He was almost angry that he couldn't give me an answer. And I'm sitting there going, I know an answer. I know Jesus. I know a God who has a covenant with us. And that man in the critical care unit, when they come to get him to take him out, he walks out with his mind intact and his strength of his body. He walks out of that critical care unit. Most everybody is taken out by wheelchairs. The whole nurses' station look over at us and he goes, see you later, ladies. Have a good day. God bless you. He walks on his own 2 feet out that door. So I know something about a covenant God who in your darkest hours will keep you. And I came home with the same man that I left with 7 days ago. We still don't understand why it happened. But I thank God that I have a covenant with a God that is faithful and true. So I'm begging you today, as God has told me to tell you, give me your stony heart. It is time for a new covenant. Anyone under the sound of my voice don't know Jesus. You need to know him. Life is not guaranteed. Nothing is a guarantee in this life. For we are just fragile earthen vessels. I will put a new heart in them. I will give them a new spirit. I will take away the stony heart out of their flesh. and I will give you a heart of flesh. That's all I have to say to you today. I know the time is short, but I wanted you to hear that testimony. I wanted you to know that you serve an awesome God. An awesome God. He is true. He is true. He will do awesome things. I will do with you. With you. Bring him your stony heart. Allow him to put his new spirit within you. Make a new covenant with him today. I love you. I pray this word blesses you. I can't say it enough. Bring him your stony heart. Bring it to him. He desires a covenant with you. Father, I thank you and praise you for your bountiful mercies, for your grace and mercy that's new each and every day. I thank you that you're true and faithful to your words, that even when we're up against the hard places in life, Lord, you're holding us up. You're shoring us our legs so that we can stand. But you had never left us alone. And that when you took your hand away, we could see that your presence had been in the situation in the whole time. That you never let us go through it alone. God, I thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.